universe and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Again, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
Mick and I are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gift of spirit communication. On this show, we focus on education. Through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth of the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing aging gracefully and all things to do with... it's quite funny, isn't it? It's everything to do with growing old, and it's something that's going to, hopefully, if we're lucky enough to live long enough, happen to all of us. And yet, we don't really put that much attention into it. So we'll be going to be discussing that. So if you'd like to join us with a question relating to that topic, it's not a reading type of situation, okay? But you joining in with our discussion on the show with Spirit Gregory, and I'll tell you about him in a moment. Anyway, the number is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-527. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers around, we'd love to hear from you, but it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. It's 001-530-876-32.
Well, hi everyone. Hi, Mick Avery. I'd just like to say that as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful, fabulous, and ever-present BBSRadio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services that we have to offer, and there's gazillions of them, please do go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And each week, live on the show, as Sylvie said, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so that we can get on with the show. So really, without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie now, and she's going to explain more, because you don't really want to hear me. And
No, we want Gregory.
It's far more interesting to really hear the conversations between the spirit world and Sylvie. Okay, so I'm going to say goodbye now. Until next week. Thank you very much. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, hopefully to understand the nature of our existence and save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. So as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. On there, we also, I said that this show isn't a personal readings type of show, but we do one-to-one readings with Gregory. You can have time with Gregory, with Akashic readings and all types of different things. And you can find out all about that on our website as well. Today's show is actually a knock-on from Ursa's suggestion. We still have some of her questions left, And I'd just like to say that don't forget, if you have a show subject that you would like us to cover one week, just send your questions in to me, or even your suggestion for a show topic. But if you send questions as well, then we will be able to cover it a lot more quickly, because it means that I don't have to do so much work finding questions myself and research and that sort of thing. So if there's something that you would like us to explore, the Spirit Board would like to explore, just drop us a line at spirit-com. You can also interact with us on secondlife.com. The next time we are on there is 16th of November. That's a Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific. That's the virtual world of secondlife.com. And we will be at the Academy New Oracle Temple for another chance to interact with Gregory. So, I do believe that Gregory is with us now.
Hello, my dear friends. Love and life, blessings be upon your pathway. Hello.
Hello, Gregory.
Little bird.
Little bird. Tweet, tweet. So this week we're going to continue talking about old age, really, aren't we? And we've covered quite a lot of ground over the last few weeks.
Yes, I think so.
Is there an area that you particularly wanted to start with, or would you like me to start?
Perhaps you would like to start with one of your many questions, then.
Okay. Studies show that a percentage of people die during their first year of retirement, one of the reasons being a psychological trauma, since feeling that you're a worn-out individual. Would you like to comment on this?
Yes, actually. Loss, really, is a part of it as well, to do with the whole work ethic, perhaps, particularly if a person has been in a very close-knit community. After all, people who have worked for one company for a long time, for example, in their place of work, suddenly they're no longer with their friends, and they actually miss them a great deal. So it is actually quite a traumatic time, and a time for change as well. We have to also address certain other issues to do with the relationship in the household. As it is, my dear friends, for certain it is that suddenly, couples who perhaps actually spend half of their lives apart, you understand me, that's the truth of it, that perhaps in a normal working environment relationship, that a couple live together, they actually spend a good deal of time apart, well, at least, I suppose, a third of it. And so it will be that this actually in itself has a great deal of confusion, as well as, in a sense, trepidation for the person who has just retired. So it does mean to say that it puts on a great deal of trauma for that being. But perhaps it's a shame that many health authorities or whatever professionals do not actually recognize this or haven't actually picked it up as being, in a sense, a kind of a state of care. Particularly perhaps expert or ongoing, really to do with the way that a person is actually going to fulfill their lives after they have stopped working. I know perhaps that the whole work ethic situation is perhaps something that is so natural to some people that they really, in a sense, really have to continue to try to maintain certain relationships outside of the work state. So that, too, also, of course, something fundamental.
That's interesting you say that, Gregory, because I've been doing some research, obviously, on this program today.
Yes.
And nothing came up about the relationships in the household. So the husband and wife are not usually together.
Even thought of.
They're not together that much normally, are they?
No, exactly.
And, you know, maybe weekends only if the job allows it.
Yes, or the time after the person has returned to work, they have some kind of meal together, maybe not. Maybe it's not even that much.
Absolutely.
You understand.
Absolutely. So we can all understand about the worthlessness, you know, the feeling of being less worthy now. You don't have a job and a place in society and that sort of thing.
That's one issue.
Absolutely, but the relationships in the household, yes, that's very interesting.
Yes, quite so.
Thrust together like that.
Yes, absolutely. It's like two aliens in a sense, because really, for the most part, the other partner perhaps, I'm not suggesting that it's one person who stays at home and the other person who is working. It may well, of course, be something quite different interrelationship. Maybe it is that perhaps you actually, as a couple, maybe have even more than one job or maybe even more than two together. You understand? Mm. Perhaps because of the economic state for your household, and therefore it may well be that this actually doesn't actually crop up yet, a while. Perhaps it's a more subsidious situation, which has undercurrents and underplays within the family unit. So there it is then. You perhaps give him one job, but not the whole situation. And then you subjugate one thing for other fields of interest or other states. I have often thought it's quite incongruous, really, for one person to actually change their whole habit and routine, which they may have built up over many, many years. It's extremely difficult, and really, it can be quite traumatic for some people, and they really don't get over it.
Well, it's sleeping patterns, eating habits.
Absolutely.
I mean, everything changes, doesn't it?
And including, of course, the whole nature of their activity. So it may well be that perhaps, for example, some people may well actually change their sleep pattern because they actually cannot face the whole situation of their lost friendships and that kind of event. So it may well be that it brings up great disturbances within the conscious state. And this is what I'm saying, really, that many people just really do not realize this is actually going to happen and what effect it can create, especially within the aspects of trauma to the individual in a psychological state of their ability to create compassion, perhaps around these well-found relationships, which, as I say, may be created over many years. I know I understand that perhaps in this current climate, you may have situations where many people are not in that state or category. But I'm saying, however, it's just as bad as someone who perhaps has been, shall we say, in a job of work for a great deal of time, and then suddenly the whole situation changes, or they lose that.
They feel totally lost.
Yes,
unable to actually think.
Absolutely.
Because some people just do need routine, don't they?
A great many people do, I have to say. Actually, due to their psychology of how they were brought up and created to a certain extent by their own environment, and what that environmental interplay really, in a sense, help them to achieve or not.
Yes, absolutely. And that is one of the things, isn't it, really, with older people. People get stuck in a groove. So sometimes that can be one of the most difficult thing with maybe looking after an elderly relative or whatever, friend. It's dealing with the, it's not obsessiveness, well, sometimes it can be.
It can be,
yes. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
I would just like to say, if there's anybody here that's listening, or any of our listeners that have, you know, maybe you find yourself in this situation, that you're looking after a loved one or a relative, then, you know, if you want to phone up and talk about your situation or share some ideas or views with us that might help other people. The number is free phone, 877-876-527 in the US and 888-815-9756 Canada. Yes, yeah, so dealing with that is knowing how much that you should put your pressures and your ideas onto
their life.
Yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely so, especially as oftentimes it will become that a person perhaps many years through their life cannot be doing with change, cannot be accepting this kind of rivalry energy. And you actually, as a physical being, have to be quite careful, because after all, you're suddenly coming into close proximity of their life once again. perhaps as a sibling, as a child, or whatever, that it may well be, depending upon your relationship, of course, but actually, really in a sense that you are moving through this well-wishing, if you like. You are trying to help them be loving and kind and generous, perhaps, with your time. But maybe it is that they actually find your presence, even just your presence, traumatic.
Yes.
You see, and a part of this can be the case. Oftentimes it has been from our perception in the spirit world that we observe various people going through quite traumatic experiences purely and simply because their children have once again taken place in their lives in a very big way and in a very day-to-day orientation of their running of their life. Particularly, I have to say, where it is maybe that suddenly an aging parent or someone like that has to come and live with a child in order to be cared for, or perhaps the child goes and lives with them. That's a completely different situation, one upon another.
And the reverse.
Yes, absolutely so. And you will actually find that, particularly where an elderly parent comes to live with a young that parent's children, that it actually becomes quite a very difficult challenge for the parents in order to make that transition from their own home field environment to begin with. That's an extremely traumatic event in itself.
The retirement is, and old age is really the respect that we deserve for our years of either service, as in retirement, or just our years that we've been on the planet, really. So it's funny how we look at it as something totally derogatory, as well as the whole feeling that goes with it, the package, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
Society's not really geared very well, is it, for old age? I mean, do you think it goes...
It misses such a great deal.
Well, yes. And, I said in the intro, it's going to happen to all of us. If we're lucky
enough every single being,
unless you get
run over by a collection horse.
Like you did, yes. Do you think it starts with children? Do you think we should... I mean, I have got some ideas of the sort of things that, that maybe we could do, where we could start with trying to address this situation. Does it start with children?
Well, to a certain extent, the point really, I feel, my dear friend, is to understand that patience is something which must be created.
Okay. Hello, listener. Yes. Who's speaking, please?
Hi, this is Scott calling from Daytona. Long time no talk, but hello there.
Hi,
hello,
Scott.
Hello.
Oh, gosh, thank you for bringing up a subject to help us distract ourselves from the election that is coming. I wanted to talk about an experience that I had. I have a good friend who has been a friend of the family. In fact, I've known the family, all the members of the family, through the years since I was a child, and I'm 47, and he's now 84. And he was an artist for a local university for many years, and I had a very touching encounter with him on Friday, it was. And it really brought tears to my eyes. And I had sensed something in him, in a sense, die already on a psychic level before I had a visit with him about 6 months ago, and when I visited, it became apparent that certain choices and decisions had been made, and he had made the decision to not paint anymore, being a watercolor specialist and artist whose work has more or less gone national as well as perhaps beyond national. And if anything, perhaps I can learn from this is that if I'm drawing or if I'm writing or if I'm doing whatever, I need to be doing it.
Absolutely.
Till the end. I really couldn't, to see, because the man who I'm referring to was always an inspiration, was very fiery. He's a double Aries, always very witty, very clever, very comical. full of life, and it would show in his work. And it really was kind of like, well, what is coming to be is kind of a marker for me in my life. Kind of like a milestone, I guess, in terms of my relationship with him, my relationship with the family, and his impact on every member of the family. He has several artists in his family who are his children, and he has great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. And my parents also being on the artistic side, my father being a singer, and at times I begin to wonder how much longer he'll be with us. He is 74. My mother's 74 also. But it was just, I just wanted to share that because it just, we don't have those experiences necessarily every day, and I just thought of bringing that experience to you, Gregory and Sylvia.
That is most wonderful, my dear friend. And the point is, you see, that actually I understand that there are some people who are artistic in that way, and what they actually do is they just simply carry on with an ever-increasing size magnifying glass, and that will just be the situation, and they'll just continue on in that pattern. Obviously, your dear loving friend is a person who has most graciously been able to bring his gifts of spirit, his gifts of his own personality very strongly into the haven of not just his family group, but also the wider community. This is something which is so important, and people who have this kind of focus really, in a sense, I understand that perhaps there had come a point maybe where he had felt that he had to withdraw from that kind of energy, but it does seem as though that in many respects there would also be a sense of regret that that decision had been made. So it's in a sense, for some people, once they make some kind of a decision, they actually feel embarrassment or actual great deals of change within the state, in a sense, to even go back upon that decision. It's like such a momentous state that maybe they do not realize fully how that energy integration has created that pathway within them, and that whole feeling of empathy with those different kinds of conditions, because being an artist is not just about inspiration. It's about many different control formulas which happen within hand-eye coordination, which happen within the fluidity and flow of that being spirit creativity. This then is something, being such a creative person, to suddenly stop creating is something which also, as I say, can be in a sense quite traumatic, but also maybe for some, they would actually rather stop enjoying that kind of situation rather than doing something which is less than perfection. I feel and understand that this is possibly where he was coming from.
Okay. Thank you, that helped.
And yes, and oftentimes, you see, it may well be that if they cannot do something to the perfected state, particularly as most will have a certain kind of eye quality to do with their understanding of color, their understanding of the rationales of light and shade and the different situations of their ability to create that and continue in the style they have created, becomes something even more traumatic if they actually feel that they just cannot be bothered with it anymore, that there is, in a sense, a loss of that energy. And oftentimes this may just simply come because of the friction created because they have, in a sense, let go of it. And that in itself can be actually quite a deep traumatizing situation for the being. I would have to say, friend, your friend really, in a sense, needs continual wellness, continual love, really created around them. Because, and that's the same with anyone as well, parents, whoever it is, people or elder within the community. In a sense, that creative respect of that being's life needs to be, in a sense, maintained, not just for the sake of it, but so long as it regenerates perhaps self-understanding and awareness of just how they have been in that community, particularly someone who has been so gifted in that respect. And as you say, my dear friend, people perhaps who are using some kind of really physical state, perhaps as singing or something like that, there is going to be an inevitable quality whereby that is, in a sense, lost. So perhaps it may be in validating what that person does now in the physical life is, in a sense, then going to be something which is acknowledged within that life form, so that perhaps it isn't something that is just given up lightly, but is really shown that it is a cherished state within that family group.
Yes. Yes, and that brought the thought of my father, who studied with Hans Hotter, and he was telling me how Hans Hotter had passed away at 80 and or 85 or so, and had been singing Winterreise by Schubert at a very old age still. I mean, he had it in him to continue to sing and to continue to perform. I don't know how the final years of his life were, but back to my friend, he basically told me that he thought of me as one of his sons. That was the very emotional part of our interchange.
That is a really beautiful thing to say. Yeah. A really, truly beautiful thing to say, friend. And in a sense, then, it actually brings the depth of your own compassion to the surface as well, as an acknowledgement of the being that you have become. And that is the point, really. It's, in a sense, that it, coming from someone who has, shall we say, been on the planet a long time, then has created this wellness of opinion and wisdom and general understanding of behavior, for that to be, in a sense, an essence of the energy that is created between you is something which is really sacred among human beings. And we acknowledge that. We, of course we do, especially from our side of life, because it's really the stuff of love. It's the stuff that the energy, not just of pure emotion, but of feeling an intensity towards that person, understanding their foibles, their weaknesses, and their strengths. That's something which is, in a sense, long-lasting within the memory and is contained within your cell memory and within theirs, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory. And with that, I think I'll sign off. And thank you so much for
thank
the
you,
feedback.
Scott.
And we'll talk
so,
later.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
it's
lovely to hear
speak
from you.
With you, my dear friend. Thank you so
much.
God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, that's beautiful. And then the thing is, you see, like I said, not everybody is comfortable around old people. People don't have, they don't know how to talk to old people.
Maybe short.
This is what I'm saying about teaching children. We teach children good manners and etiquette and that sort of thing, but we seem to fall short of behaviour towards the elderly, don't we? It should be second nature, shouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. That's part of my point, really, and that is only actually going to come from parental groups interacting with their children and observation of their behavior towards other people who are family members who are reaching older years. And it really is a system of what you would or would not do in your scope of morality. So let's say then, for example, in a tribal group, they will have very set patterns worked out already as to how to honor a person who has been upon the planet for a long time. I understand that age doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're going to be harnessed with wisdom either.
No, absolutely not.
And it may well be, I wouldn't dare to fall upon that trap. And that's purely and simply because some people, in a sense, have not managed to gain the wisdom that they could have created in their physical life, whilst others actually accrue everything and really show it. So it's not something which is a blanket approach. I am well aware of that.
Well, we're talking about respect here, aren't we, really, basically?
Yes,
right, respect
so.
For older people and for the older person, respect for difference and the younger generation. Because there seems to be this great, I said generalisation, but there can be a real sort of like ravine there. Quite sure where it begins and where it ends.
But it's actually quite strange, really, because if you think about it, my dear friends, what actually happens is that a person who is very old oftentimes becomes quite childlike.
Mm-hmm.
As their memory fades, it's almost as though, well, actually, it's not that they want to be treated like a child. I'm not suggesting that for one moment, because that would be quite condescending and it wouldn't be an attractive energy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, in a sense, however, if the situation is well-meaning, oftentimes it can be that most people within the family group can actually gain a great deal of light-hearted banter with an elderly parent, purely and simply, especially if they're losing their memory or something like that. It doesn't want to be something that's traumatic. You need to move away from that kind of energy within an elderly person and rather focus upon more a positive state.
Absolutely. Yeah, because
yes.
Many of us will have to look after our parents at some point or other. So it's funny, you know, that we don't talk about this very much.
Yes, quite so.
So
actually, many people end up being quite unprepared for it.
Mm. Yes. So, by requiring respect of all life, when we teach children, I guess that's the general thing. We're helping them to build a good character trait that will serve them throughout their lives.
Yes, but that really is a part of it, you see, so long as you do that. And if you don't do that, what have you created?
Okay, all right. Well, I was just going to go on to schools, actually.
Yes.
I understand that there are some schools that do this, but I don't actually know of any. And again, if anybody knows of any sort of... any that do this sort of thing, I'd love to hear about it. But the schools should surely make more of an intergenerational program, like sort of having seniors visit schools on a regular basis or something.
Have
the school visit the old folks' home and that sort of thing to develop communication and social skills between them. And that's, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But nobody really pays any attention to old folks. So there's not a lot to be gained from looking into this. Do you know what I mean? Not really. I mean, the babies, yes, but not old people. And
yes, it's really quite strange because it's actually such a wasted community and it's such a wasted energy because, after all, you have all of these people who have gone through and learned so much, and it's suddenly that there appears to be this cut-off point where their learning isn't actually shared anymore. And that seems to be something which is really quite ridiculous when you think of the wealth of all of that, life that they have moved through, and what has been created within that life actually then means that I understand that there may well be parts of the condition which are, shall we say, perhaps less acceptable from one generation to another is purely in the way that one generation has moved on from the other, perhaps in their learning potential, in the way that they interact with certain situations, so that it would be perhaps, I would venture to say, friends, that maybe one of the best things that could be done is to bring older people into new technology and help them to understand maybe even the workings of new technology. I'm not suggesting this some person at the age of 86 suddenly learns the computer, although they could do. But I'm saying, though, that newer forms of technology and the way to operate these oftentimes can be very revealing and very releasing for a person of advanced years to then be encouraged to operate and to interrelate with it.
Yes, if they're that way inclined and they have that mental capacity, then absolutely. And there's a lot of other things that I'd like to go through in a moment.
Yes.
Just, you know, ideas as well.
Yes,
that, you know, maybe you do have, you are looking after somebody and you're out of ideas on what to occupy them with, maybe, or suggest. But I'd just like to turn to instinct. So where does instinct come into this with human beings? Because instinct and babies, you know, oh, baby, oh, even if you don't want one, they're cute. Versus the elderly person. And I put them together because, obviously, they both can be quite helpless.
Yes.
Should demand a nurturing sensitivity from you some way.
In some way,
yeah. I know one's maternal. You know, can you talk about that?
Well, one is maternal and the other tends to be that you as a child from this parent may well feel that it is in a sense that you have to give something back to the parent that gave to you. I understand that perhaps some relationships between in this situation may be, in a sense, even thought of as a little one-sided, particularly if the parent is going through some kind of a dreadful wasting disease or whatever.
But if it's not your baby, you still go, ah.
Well, so, that's true.
And an elderly person, you sort of don't, maybe.
Well, maybe. It depends, doesn't it, upon the character as well.
Yeah,
characterization.
But the baby's character,
if the person is grumpy, I'm saying it's like the baby on the bus that screams. Nobody likes it. They just they want to go on to a different part of the bus or something like that. See, and that actually becomes quite traumatic for a lot of people. And it's exactly the same if you're in close proximity with somebody, with anybody, who then creates traumatic events around you as an energy field. You actually don't want to be a part of it. It's too, particularly if it's something that you actually have to deal with. It may be on a personal level like that. Obviously, if it's a baby on a bus, and it really aggravates you, perhaps the most significant thing that you can do is get off and get another one.
But some animals do, and they know we're all animals.
Yes.
Some animals, and real animals I'm talking about now, demand respect from their elders.
That is true. Absolutely. Primates especially.
And others don't know. Others would outcast. Okay.
Yes.
We'll go on to that in a minute.
Yes.
Hello, caller. Who's speaking, please?
Yes. Hi. My name's Noella from Canada.
Hello.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Over the phone. I just have a question. I'm in my 50s, and of course I'm right into this topic that you are talking about tonight, about the elderly, and I find it's not so much handling the elderly as much as right now it's partners that are losing their partners, like an aunt who lost her husband recently. I've had a couple of them, and they're going through a very lonely time. And so I'm
yes.
just trying to help them spiritually, saying, you know, talk about them. Give me some of the nice high points of your life, you know. And I find this brings them back, because right now they're sort of in a shock, you know, like married 30, 40, 50 years alone.
Yes.
And
yes.
A lot of people don't seem to realize that emptiness. That, I mean, their kids are all, you know, have their kids and their lives, and they check in, but it's not real conversation about it, where she
yes.
can talk to me about it, because I'm not as close like the children, you know. Maybe she's protecting them. So I just wondered if you could discuss how to bring the life back into them without, I know they have to go through the mourning and everybody, you know, but I call on a whim, and they're always happy to hear somebody's out there
yeah.
reaching out to them. And it's sort of like after,
yeah.
you know, after the funeral, it dies down, and it's just like, you know, the roughest part is usually a year after, I find.
Yeah,
yes,
it's
of
so
course.
Unreal. The feelings they are feeling are so
yeah.
unreal and alien to them, aren't they? It's not something that we can have a sort of practice at, is it? It's just,
no,
wow,
right.
how do we deal with it?
I understand.
Right.
And particularly, my dear friend, I have to say, from this traumatic point of view that you so beautifully illuminate, that it is, for sure, that many people, even within their own family group, they actually feel quite ostracized by their own pain. And then,
yes.
therefore, what happens is that they actually don't want to necessarily bother with their own family because they, in a sense, they've gone back to their own lives and don't actually give another thought for the whole situation of that person losing their partner, or not, of course, that they've actually lost them, but in a physical sense. And
yeah.
And so perhaps it may well be that one of the best things that you can do is, in fact, to help them to illuminate and remember those times of the shared relationship, which was so important and cherished within that life. In a
yeah.
sense, however, what they have to also come to grips with is to be able to help them to actually manage and cope with their new life that they're now having to realize. And
exactly.
that is also, I feel, something which is, in a sense, not actually taken into account by so many people in family groups. Well, how is that person now going to be able to cope with even their own day-to-day situation? Particularly, I have to say,
exactly.
friend, if it is that a female of a married relationship, you obviously, many people will understand that if it had not been that both people of a relationship actually take care of the business end of it, the material side of everything, then there are going to be quite traumatic situations of that person's even just simple ability to cope with day-to-day running of this event or that event,
yeah.
or perhaps do with...
You're right.
Yes, but... Yes.
Sorry, I threw you off.
No, I know. No, please go on.
Go on,
it's quite
okay.
all right.
That's what I was listening. Go on. Okay. Oh, I was just going to say one thing that helps them. It sounds morbid to a lot of people, but they tell me, oh, I get such comfort for visiting the grave site. I feel close to that person, and I talk to that person. And I said, sure, why not? It doesn't have to be at the grave site, but if that's what it makes you feel like it's complete, you know, like that's
yeah.
a place that you feel comfortable in. And most of them do, and they go, I would never go to a grave site, but now I'm finding myself going there, you know. And I'll leave you with that, but I'm sorry I interrupted you. And it's been really interesting, and I'm going to keep listening.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
And,
I'm really glad
that you phoned. Thank you.
Well,
I'm sure it's helped
sharing.
Other people.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You,
God bless.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, sir. God bless, my dear friend.
Yes, absolutely. We can't...
That is just so wonderful. You see, that somebody actually who takes the understanding of and the great depth of compassion that person has for those and realization that there is a need within that family group or even within that relationship for that to be fulfilled, for the understanding that needs to be that, well, why don't you go and do this or that?
Well, absolutely.
It's really
well, and I think, and not judging somebody on their coping strategies, because
yes.
we don't know.
Yes.
You know, even if you've lost somebody in a similar situation, you still cannot say hey, that you know how they feel.
Yes, and quite rightly, actually, as she points out, that generally what tends to happen is that a year after the person has passed, that's when the trauma really sinks in, because it's actually the state of loss becomes much more real then. And that's the point, really.
Does it? I mean, in what way? I mean,
there's
a certain numbness at the beginning,
isn't
there?
Yes, that's right. Yes, and of course, all of the well-wishing from the family group, if they have that.
Yes,
if they have that support.
Yes,
and then everybody else fades away.
Yeah, I see.
And then, in a sense, they're left to get on with the day-to-day running of their own life. Mm-hmm. So this really, in a sense, should not really try to be as traumatic as it is. Oftentimes it will be that people also become quite labored in trying to find out, well, what to do next. So it can be that a part of the energy maybe which may be created is, in a sense, the reluctance on the part of the person who's left behind in order to continue doing something or creating something. In a sense, it can be they can go either way, either give up, perhaps because the pining is too great. Oftentimes this can happen in the instinctive state of the wild animal group, as well as for a civilization, or even a group, shall we say, of primates or something like that. you may actually get quite traumatic events in a troop of monkeys, for example, whereby perhaps if the being has become ostracized in some way, particularly if it's a male, it will be, because most primate groups are actually matriarchal, it means to say that the whole balance of the situation actually becomes more as though that being will, in a sense, you can remember that you would see the being, the male, the older male, actually shadowing the group, the matriarchal group. Not actually interacting with it, but maybe even moving along and in a sense, perhaps with some space between them, so that it's, in a sense, there remains this sense of longing of wanting to continue within the group, but the group actually keeps them away. This is quite an odd state, and however, appears to be something whereby animals in the natural world, animals generally will understand when it is that their failing is not going to mean that they are going to be a part of the group and in a state of protection of that group. And that is the same within the family unit. You are looking at a state of where the family unit actually moves away after the person, the partner has passed, shall we say, to our side of life. And what they're left with a year later is that, in a sense, they have this state of, well, what do we do now?
Well, absolutely. And retirement, yeah. I think, is a bit like grieving.
Oh, and it can be like that, which is exactly why... Yes.
It is, isn't it?
It's important to focus on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that can be just as traumatic in a sense, and for some, they'll actually give up.
Yes,
on their physical life.
It is a lot easier, like I said before, to help an elderly person if they are not too stuck in a routine and, you know, like I say, just that they're not open to change. It's very difficult. I think that's one of the most hardest things to do.
Yes, instilling the positivity that they can continue to create something outside of themselves. That is one of the most important states, that they can make decisions, that they can do something new.
And it's not too late.
Yes,
to explore your hidden talents or fulfill desires, like, I don't know, go to painting class.
Whatever it is,
jump
out of an
aeroplane. Learn how to ballroom dance, play golf, whatever. You know, something... You know, use it for something that maybe that you never had the time to do before that you always wanted to do, and see it as, you know, well, I'm going to have all this time to do this. How fantastic.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
So, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even yoga, meditation, walking, whatever. I know a lot of people go on these day trips, don't they? These mystery tours and meet people, friends, and that sort of thing. Even growing your own annuals for your summer borders in your greenhouse.
Little things, or vegetables,
instill some interest. Yes,
I know a lot of people that I acknowledge from our side of life. A great many people who actually take to growing plants, as that is seen as being something which can be most helpful, not just therapeutic for themselves, in a sense of actually doing something if they were particularly physical people in their activities.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, but it's actually something that's extremely good for the maturity of the conscious mind, because it, in a sense, creates a meditative state while doing that. While caring for plants, creates a meditative state by being around a plant's energy and being invigorated by the plant's energy. Actually, plants are extremely important for human beings to interact with, I have to say.
Little smiling faces of pan. Absolutely, yeah. So, but if somebody was a business person and now they've retired, they've still got their business skills. So, you know, there's workshops, courses where you could teach others, maybe voluntary work.
Yes, don't think that those skills are now going to go to waste.
Absolutely.
You really need to, I feel, in a sense, it's part of this civilizational problem, really, that there are not enough skills continually utilized after a person has formally retired. And so it's really something that should be shared and maintained, especially, as you say, within the community, within schools, and that kind of arrangement. That would be far better, rather than to have someone who just teaches the curriculum, to actually come in and teach life skills by other people, by people who have gone through that whole process. Yes, it may well be that their time signature is different. It may well be that they don't have the skills of a computer or perhaps the same literacy of language that the children have that they are going to interact with. But it may well be that they can bring in so much more to that environment. And it's such a wasted energy.
Well, and the thing is, it's something that if it is something that they've done all of their lives, it's second nature to them. They don't even have to think. I mean, this is it. Our faculties may not be as good. Hearing, eyesight,
cooking something. So if a school teaches cookery, why don't they have a great many people who have cooked all their lives to come in and share their experiences, share the things of what they do, the way that they do one thing or another. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole nation of people growing up who cannot cook for themselves.
Yeah, just because you might be a bit slower than before, it's no reason to stop doing the things that you enjoy. So, you know, don't compare yourself now to how you used to be. And I think that is very important to not keep doing that, because that is a real negative treadmill
particularly,
to keep yourself on.
Yes, I think particularly, my dear friend, within any community in a civilization, if it's going to remain vibrant, you have to integrate all relationships within the whole entire community within that environment. So the school is the birthplace of thought, is the birthplace of inclusion, and the birthplace of activity. So you need for all peoples within that community group to be a community and not to be singled as being the self, as being, so you close the door and you shut out the world. Very well, if that's what you want to do. I understand that too.
A lot of people homeschool for various reasons, take
yes.
their children out of school, homeschool. Sometimes this isn't always, they're not always that well equipped to do that. I mean, this is another classic example of how somebody who was retired or whatever, elderly people, could fill these positions.
Yes.
They'd probably be all too eager to feel needed again, even
absolutely.
If it's not for monetary things, you know. Maybe for other things like other favours, other qualities that can be bestowed on them, you know.
Yes, other things.
Meals or,
yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
So that's something to think of as well, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So there are so many situations which can be created around this, particularly, for example, with children perhaps who are having difficulty with writing or reading or mathematics or arithmetic or just simply coping with certain parts maybe of their learning process. And all of this can be made of so much more use than it is. It's a wasted energy at present. People who are silver-haired are not having silver thoughts.
Absolutely. So, okay, well, this has been great. Thank you very much, and till next time, then.
Well, with love and light, then, my dear friends. God bless upon your journeys, everyone. Take care of everyone.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for your calls. I really do appreciate that. And do join us again next Monday at 7 p.m. PST on the wonderful PBS Radio. I'm Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.